let's see, we now are at 1409, correct? Yes, we are.
Adopt the open and accountable elections policy by adding city code chapter 2.16.
Mr. Fritz, anything before we take a vote on this idea of yours?
No, thanks.
Roll call, please.
Novick?
Very pleased to support this as part of our agenda to progressive agenda to remember for December. I think that restoring an open and accountable elections policy will encourage people to run for office who might have been deterred in the past because they don't happen to personally know lots of people who can afford to make $500 or $1,000 contributions. I also think that it'll be beneficial even for people who've been successful in our existing system because one of the problems with having to raise a lot of money is that in order to raising money takes time. And in order to raise enough money to run a citywide race in the allowable amount of time, the most efficient thing to do is to only talk to people who can give $500 or $1,000, which means that you hear the concerns of people who can afford to write $500 or $1,000 checks. And that it's not that they're bad people, it's just that we're better off if our political leaders are talking to a wider range of people. With this proposal, with the 6-to-1 match, if you're calling somebody who can afford to give a $50 contribution, that really turns into $350, so you can afford to spend some time talking with people who can only afford to give the $50 contribution and hear their perspective. So I think this is a wonderful way for Commissioner Fritz to round out this year, and I'm pleased to be a part of it. Aye.
Well, thank you to all of my colleagues for being part of this, the discussions on this for these many months. And thank you for our community partners who are here today to celebrate this occasion. I won't go through the whole list because then I'll forget somebody, but Kate and Daniel and everybody. See, I just started on the list and I wasn't going to go down there. It's been a community-driven process and it's been a partnership that. And the product we have here is informed by the discussions I've had with each of my colleagues. So I thank you so much for that. Let's be very clear, this is not voter-owned elections. This is open and accountable elections. It's a system that has been tried and true in New York City for many years. Some people say that we should be referring this to the voters since the previous system failed at the ballot at 2010 by 1,600 votes out of 210,000 at the time when the fire bond only passed by about 1,600 votes out of 210,000, and that would usually get a 70 to 80% approval rating. But more recently, Measure 26-184 was just on the ballot in November, and it's the county election reform measure. It got 90%. I got it wrong when I discussed it last time because I thought that 87 couldn't possibly be right. 90% support. So why we would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of city taxpayers' money to put it on the ballot, it just doesn't make any sense. We voted on many other things on this council. Every year we allocate over $400 million of general fund money to things that we believe are important and which you know the citizens want. And so this is really no different from that because it's coming from the existing general fund. It's not like the construction excise tax, which we passed as a council without referring it, and that that cost is extra for some of our community. So I'm very, very grateful, particularly to those who've made suggestions to make it better, and then all to all our community partners. Thank you to Christina Nieves, my policy advisor, who's currently in Chile with her family. But we rejoiced greatly last week. Thank you also to Tim Crail, my chief of staff, who's been working on this since he first was my treasurer in 2005 of the voter-owned election system, and did the same in 2008, and has been working with me ever since. I do want to thank also Amalia Alaconda Morris. When we were trying to figure out where this program could be housed, since the auditor declined to have it as part of the elections process that she manages, I asked our director of neighborhood involvement, could we do this? And she said, yes, let's figure out how to get it done. And that's what we do in this community. We think about how can we get this done, and this is what this process has done. It's going to open it up to more kinds of people. You know, Commissioner Novick said that if you can afford to give $50, that you can have such a great return. If you can afford to loan $50, you can get this, you can support a candidate and getting claim that $50 back as your Oregon tax credit. So we already have a system of public campaign financing at the state level. I believe we really need to be able to do it here so that more people get talked to, more people get listened to, more people really feel and know that they've made a huge difference, whether they live in a mansion or are selling street roots on the street. And so thank you to all of my colleagues. You're part of something which I believe is really great today. Thank you. Aye.
I want to start by thanking my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, for her hard work developing this proposal. And I appreciate that for you, Amanda, this is the issue. And I want to thank all the public interest groups that helped to shape this proposal. If I were king for a day, I would overturn Citizens United, shine a light on all the dark money in our elections, and amend the Constitution, state and federal, to limit campaign contributions. But none of these issues will be resolved anytime soon. Today, I cannot support this proposal for one fundamental reason. In 2010, we asked voters for permission to continue the voter-owned elections program. The Yes campaign outspent the No campaign 5-1 and still lost. The public was asked, the public spoke, and the program was repealed. Under these circumstances, I'm just not comfortable taking taxpayer money to fund my own campaign without their permission. I offered an amendment to refer this to the voters. Actually, Dan offered it in my stead, and it failed. Referring big questions like this to the voters is routine, not the exception. During my 8 years on the council, we've referred the arts tax, the gas tax, the parks bond, the housing bond, the marijuana tax. I think we've even referred the children's levy twice. In each of these instances, I think we strengthened the cause by referring it. I strongly believe in the concept of reform, but I fear, respectfully, that by bypassing the voters, a well-intentioned proposal to strengthen public trust could instead end up undermining it. Without a referral, I cannot support this proposal. I vote no.
Saltzman.
No.
Hales.
Fritz, you know, you started talking about this with your colleagues in thoughtful, earnest discussion before the national election, well before it, of course. And we just talked earlier today about ways in which Portland is proving itself to be a good place and different at a time where we wonder about our country. And now that's especially true with respect to this piece of work. Is it perfect? No, we'll find out. It's good. And it's much better than the previous mechanism, I believe. So thank you for good craftsmanship. But more importantly, thank you for reinforcing a value here in Portland that our politics should be legitimate and open at a time when our national politics have been manipulated by a foreign power and where the majority didn't rule. People might wonder, why bother to participate? And I hope we all don't have that instinct, but instead to say, no, let's participate even more. And here in Portland, let new people come forward and run for office. Let everyone have the opportunity to compete on a fair playing field to lead the city, and let's keep it clean and open and available for everybody to be a good citizen of our city. So thank you. This is a good day and a good piece of work. Aye. Thank you very much. Okay. You're here. You're here. Thank you, Amanda. Okay, 1410.